What is up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Berry, the podcasting coach here. And when it comes to scaling a business, there is only so much you can do on your own. And part of scaling is removing yourself as the person who has to receive all the decisions, who has to micromanage everyone. So we are going to talk about how do you remove yourself as that choke point so that your business is able to scale. Our guest who joins us today, she helps business owners clear the choke points that throttle their businesses. She works with 6- and 7-figure businesses to dramatically improve internal operations, boost team performance and satisfaction, and to make smarter business decisions through metrics and analytics. Our guest who joins us is none other than Karen Sargent. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for that. I'm happy to be here.
Karen, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success, and thank you so much for listening. Whether you are working out or driving or whatever it is you are doing, thank you for choosing Breakthrough Success and this episode where we're going to interview Karen about removing those different choke points in our businesses. And I think one of those big ones is that we have to be that executive decision maker, and we don't like to see decisions made in our business without our involvement. And how can we get to that point where we have trustworthy people working for us and we could just pull back a little bit and let them do their thing?
Yeah, you put your finger right on the number one bottleneck in growing businesses. And I like to call it, I have a special name for it. I call it the MacGyver problem. And it's a phase of business problem. This is business growing pains, with the operative word being growing. So what I noticed in my own practice is that most clients were coming to me at a similar time in their business with similar pain points. And they were these, that the issues that were in their early startup days, which was getting sales, getting clients, getting the product out there, that was all set. That is actually working well, but it's that external success that was causing some internal breakages in their business. So they're drowning in work. They're doing last minute fire drills. They're trying to delegate to their team, but they feel like when they do, they don't like what they're getting back, either quantity or quality. They don't like what they're getting back. And one of the typical things that I hear is, hey, I'm adding headcount, but it doesn't feel like there's any less work on me. And so all of these are kind of like an upper limit in their business. But all of those pain points have one single source, and that single source is them as the bottleneck.
And I do feel like there are people who can relate. You know, at the beginning, the sales and the clients, like that's the big thing, acquisition. But then there's a point where what we're more focused on is, you know, you're at that point where you've got some sales, you've got some clients coming in, and you feel a little overwhelmed with all of that work. And you feel like your business is your baby, so you don't want to hand it off to anyone else. But at the same time, you do have to make that decision in order to move forward. And part of that is looking within to figure out, like, what are my bottlenecks? What are the things that are holding me back? Because people just don't say one day, like, oh, I should go to Karen because Karen helps with this. It's like, wait a minute, I have a problem here. How do I fix it? Oh, hey, here's Karen. So how can we figure out, like, what those bottlenecks are, those choke points that are preventing us from moving forward?
Yep, perfect. So what happens at these inflection points, like what you just described, is that the old way of doing things is starting to cause a problem. So what got them here is not going to take them to where they're going to go next. And I call that old way of doing things the MacGyver toolkit, because it reminds me of the TV character. So remember MacGyver, they have their hands in just about everything. They make the impossible possible. They're not even sure how it happens, but it does. And they come through in the clutch. And in fact, it's those clutch situations that tend to bring out the best in them. So I love calling it MacGyver because these were once habits of success. That MacGyver toolkit is how that growing business got to where it was, or it is today. And so it was effective then, but now it's actually causing those bottlenecks, because think about it, MacGyver doesn't scale. So they're at a point where even adding one more client or doing one more launch actually hurts more than it helps. And so they have to figure out, you know, what, how to fix it. So in my opinion, I mean, the fix is a combination of mindset and tactics. So I'd love to talk about like one of the most practical things that you can be doing differently. So the problem is, right, that the CEO is involved in nearly every project. I mean, that's what it means to be a choke point. So everything has to pass through the hands and the brains of the CEO, which doesn't scale. So they know this. This isn't, they're not unaware of the diagnosis and they're not unaware of what the solution is. The solution is to pull back. So when they get disappointed with the work that gets done when they do. So when your choices are constant involvement or being disappointed, you have to yourself pull back and look at the type of guidance that you're giving the team. And honestly, project specs are usually way too vague for a team to meet expectations, like working on their own. And sometimes I see the opposite problem when CEOs are managing experts who actually can work with high level goals and they're sort of micromanaging. So you kind of get both things. You get kind of absentee ownership or the boomerang boss that's trying to micromanage. Mm.
And I mean, that's a really great point you make where some bosses, I mean, a lot of them, they, I think the boomerang boss is far more common, but you do have that boss who will just step away and I pay you, you should do what I say and you should be doing all these different things. So there is that mix of being involved, but not over involved and just being able to hit that point. How would you suggest we do that? Because I feel like it's such a...
Right. So let me talk about, let me just crystallize what the problem, what I feel the problem is. So I call it a translation issue. And let me give you an analogy that might hammer this home. So imagine yourself as the owner of this hot new restaurant and you're the owner, you're the head chef, it's your baby. You've designed every dish on that menu. So you have a new dish. You figured it out in your own test kitchen. You wrote up the recipe card. So you head to the restaurant, you go to the kitchen, you walk up to your grill guy who's going to be cooking this new dish. And you love your grill guy, right? He does excellent work. And you hand over the recipe card. So record scratch, are you sure this is the right guy to hand it off to? And a lot of the CEOs think, well, that's the guy that's going to be doing the work. Of course, that's who I hand it off to. But making the dish once isn't the same thing as making it 50 times during a service. You have to think about sourcing the food, prepping the food, you know, all of those things that kitchens need to work. A lot of work needs to be broken out and figured out, even though you have the dish and you have the recipe card. So the grill guy is there to sort of rock his 4x3 part of the kitchen, and he cooks burgers to perfection. But he's not the guy to take a recipe card and sort of break it out and figure out what the rest of the kitchen is going to be doing as well as himself to get this thing out during service. So there's two lessons here. One is you don't implement ideas, you implement plans. And just that realization can be a sea change. And lesson two, the fundamental service that we're talking about is one of translation, translating the ideas into the plans. And this translation skill set is completely separate from execution. So as the CEO, you need to, especially of a growing business who's experiencing the kind of problems we're talking about, the CEO needs to compensate for either the lack of ability or lack of desire to do the translation duties anymore. And so that's the service that you need to go find and make sure is present on your team before you're going to clear these choke points and get the work done.
I mean, Karen brings a really great point because a lot of people just look for talent, but look for talent in the wrong areas. I mean, just because some guy's a really good cook doesn't mean he could be an effective communicator. You could see some really talented cooks who they don't like be interacting with the other people. They just want to focus on making their dish perfect. So we're using a restaurant example here because that's what we've built on. But you don't want to look at one skill set and hire because that person possesses one skill set, even though you're supposed to be hiring for a different skill set, which would be making sure all the food is in, making sure that there's effective communication around the kitchen. And that's how you find someone who's skilled in the area that you need that person to be skilled in versus someone being skilled in the wrong area that could look good at first glance.
For sure. I mean, good implementers are worth their weight in gold. You actually can't run your business without them, but it's a different talent and skill set to, you know, to break out work, to take, you know, strategies into goals, goals into projects, projects into tasks. I mean, think about it. That grill guy is going to rock out his little portion of the kitchen, and he will probably troubleshoot when things go wrong in his immediate area, but he isn't the guy who thinks about the rest of the kitchen and how everything needs to come onto the plate at the last minute and then go out the door. You know, there's just all sorts of coordination aspects that happen, you know, from 2 weeks ago to this morning's prep work and all of that stuff. And that's just not his world. And what I see in our own businesses and digital businesses is the same type of misunderstanding that the CEO walks up to their implementers and says, you know, here's my strategy. Could you do the work that would bring us the result that I want? And it's not that they're unwilling, and it's not that they don't, you know, sometimes they get lectured about, you know, taking ownership and stepping up, but really it's a different skill set altogether to translate something like that, a dish and a recipe card, into what you're going to do repetitively to get the work out the door. And it's those, I'd love to talk in more detail about those translation gaps, because that is the critical hire for a CEO who's experiencing these types of problems in their business, right at this inflection point where sales and marketing is working, but internal ops kind of isn't. It's almost always one of these two positions that's missing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really great point, because you could have the tactics, you could have the strategies, but if you give all that to the wrong person, then all the people below, I mean, you could say, like, you know, this whole segment is failing, like this whole segment's like completely unproductive, but it could just be this one guy you have at the top who's not enforcing the right rules or not giving people the right guidance to do their jobs effectively. And Karen, you know, you bring up a great point. Find that right person who's in their worth their weight in gold. The only problem with hiring people worth their weight in gold is they might be thinking about, you know, I want to start my own restaurant, or I want to do my own business. So while it's great to have these people, how do you plan for them to say, like, 3 week notice, I'm going on my own?
Well, you know, that's an interesting problem, because a lot of the aptitude that you want to hire in your own business is, especially in these critical startup phases, is very entrepreneurial, right? So you're flirting with the guy who might actually take off and start their own business. And I think that's part, you know, gosh, there's a lot of things that would roll up into there, and hopefully, you know, just open transparency and trust about somebody's future plans, like, come learn with me for 5 years. And then I'll help you out. I mean, it could be anything from that kind of transparent arrangement to, you know, golden handcuffs if you can afford it. You know, if you like the work that you're getting, do everything you can to make them stay.
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, like a really interesting thing to think about, especially like as you get deeper and deeper in. Like, I guess some people may just have one assistant, but you have two assistants, three assistants, more assistants. Then it is a matter of thinking, like, do I want to offer more money? Do I want to say, like, 5 years and then, you know, I'll help you? Because one of the things about setting those time frames is it's easier for you to start looking for people at the right time. Like, you don't want to be in the scenario where it's like, I hire this new person and I'm going to have my employee of 20 years teach this new person how to do their job, so then I just do the replacement, because that's just one of the ways people go. And you don't want to make people feel like they're training the person who's just going to replace them. So there is that dynamic. And again, like, if you are open and transparent about it with these key players, they may even help you come up with the right recommendation.
I would agree with that. And I also think there's a cadre of people out there, and I want to put myself in that camp, that are entrepreneurial, but aren't necessarily aspiring to be heads of companies or heads of growing companies. And that's actually, I feel like it's one of the sweet spots for me as I consult and coach, you know, CEOs of these growing businesses. So many entrepreneurs are visionaries and they love to be the person out in front. And I'm neither. I am not a front guy, and I'm also not a visionary. I'm an integrator. And I think a lot of the business consulting that goes on is from visionary to visionary, which is great, especially like in the sales and marketing realms. But when it comes to topics that are actually best handled by integrators and the COO types, like internal operations, I feel like that's kind of like where we can sort of step up and show some leadership. And I provide like that outside perspective. You know, the saying, you can't read the label from inside the bottle. Well, for the CEOs, I am outside and outside looking in. And I sit on my own expertise of seeing internal operations and problem solving. And I like to think of it as this relationship, like they're the star quarterback. So the quarterback is on the field, all the lights are on them, they're making the big plays, but every quarterback at the elite level has a coach up in the skybox with a totally different vantage point. And that quarterback gets on the radio every down and talks strategy with the person with that different vantage point. And so I feel like that's the kind of relationship that I have with my CEOs. And I feel like they respect the fact that I am not trying to build a gigantic business. I'm not, you know, those aren't the things that I aspire to. I'm just the quiet one in the back, letting the widgets get out without, you know, without people crying and without people quitting and without burnout and without fire drills. And they really appreciate it because that is their missing puzzle piece. That isn't something that visionaries will naturally solve on their own.
And Karen brings up a great point because, you know, like when you hear entrepreneur, you think, you know, constant growth, constant being in the front. But part of being successful is knowing what place you want to put yourself in. So some people, they love the spotlight. Other people want to be the behind the scenes type of person who gives someone else that spotlight. So there are different positions, different ways to approach success, but knowing what position you want to be in is going to help you move towards your goals faster. Another thing that's going to help you move towards your goals, in addition to listening to more episodes and hopefully leaving a good review, another thing that will help you is to follow Karen and her work. So Karen, where are some good places for us to go?
So you can check out my website, which is KarenSargent.com. And then I'm also on Facebook. You can find the links to those on my website.
We'll also have those links available in the show notes for anyone who's interested in following Karen and her work. But once again, Karen, thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Success. It was a pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you very much.